A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my Heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, one Sunday morning, a preacher spoke for 20 minutes on Elijah. He spoke for 20 minutes on Ezekiel, 20 minutes on Jeremiah, and 20 minutes on Daniel. And then he announced, "And now we come to the 12 minor prophets. And where shall I place Hosea?" And the man in the back row stood up and shouted, "He can take my seat, I'm leaving." Well, today we have a reading from one of the major prophets, Ezekiel. If you take a look at that first reading, it's a very strong reading, a very powerful reading about the importance of loving our neighbor enough that we're willing to help lead them to heaven and to help them to get back on the right path if they stray. Listen to these powerful words of Ezekiel. "And if you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his way, the wicked shall die for his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death. But if you warn the wicked, trying to turn him from his way, and he refuses to turn from his way, he shall die for his guilt, but you will be saved." See, the readings, the three readings today are all about love of neighbor and what's called fraternal correction. And these actually go hand in hand. Ezekiel tells us we should not give in to the sin of omission by not saying something when we're supposed to. For example, parents, don't you often have to form your children and teach your children and educate your children on what is right and what is wrong? Priests have to do that from the pulpit. We do this in the confessional to let people know what is right, what is wrong, what is a sin, what is not. See, if we don't say something, then we are partly responsible for keeping silent, for not saying something. So love of neighbor tells us that we should help our brothers and sisters get to heaven. Listen to the letter of Paul to the Romans. "Love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." And then St. Paul summarizes those commandments as being ways in which we love our neighbor as ourselves. He says the commandments, "You shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet." It says these are all summed up in the saying, "Love your neighbor as yourself." In fact, all the Ten Commandments can be summarized under love God and love your neighbor. Well, what is love and how should we love one another? Well, the definition of love is desiring the highest and best good for the sake of the other person. Well, what is the higher and best good for the other person? It is heaven. It's eternal happiness with God. If you love somebody, you want them to get to heaven. You don't want them to traipse on their merry way to hell, right? You want them to be saved. You want them to be happy for all eternity. So sometimes love requires this act of mercy, and actually it is one of the spiritual works of mercy to correct the sinner. Means that we will sometimes have to speak out and lead people in the right direction. Because we want people to be converted, to come back to church, back to the sacraments. We want to guide them. We want them to become the saints that God wants them to be. So that's all part of loving our neighbor, is trying to get them to come closer to God. So it's actually a work of mercy to instruct the ignorant, to counsel the doubtful, to correct the sinner. And again, parents have to do this all the time, right? With your teenagers and with others, to form them and to train them along the path of righteousness and holiness, as the Bible says. So true love means we will try to get one another to heaven. Well, then in the Gospel today, the Lord tells us sort of the three-step process. And He says the first thing you should do, says if your brother sins, go and tell him his fault just between the two of you. So you do it quietly, you do it prayerfully, and you do it individually. And this could be, you know, a dad sitting down with his son, a mom sitting down with a daughter. It could be a spouse sitting down with one another. So the idea is that you go to them individually. This gives that person the opportunity to change his or her ways, to get back on the right path towards heaven. So that's the first step. You try to do it one-on-one. And you don't do it in a righteous manner or in a judgmental manner. You do it with all humility. And it's explained to the person how much you love them, but you see their destructive habit, whether it be alcoholism or drug addiction or whatever it might be, is hurting them, it's leading them away from God. You love them, you want them to get to heaven, and so you explain it to them. And that way it gives the opportunity for the person to have a conversion. Well, the Lord says if that doesn't work, then you can do an intervention. This is where you take one or two people, the Lord says, and go with them. And that's another way. The second step could be done in that way. Sometimes this has to be done, right? With family members or friends, you've heard of these interventions where they have to help a person by going to them and explaining the situation to them. Well, hopefully that would take care of it. Well, then the Lord gives a third way, and this is a sort of a last resort. He says, if he refuses to listen to them, then tell the church. This might be, of course, getting a priest involved or a Catholic counselor or a deacon or a nun, somebody from the church to help as well. Now, of course, over the centuries, the church has oftentimes, in a very rare cases, especially when it's a public figure involved, has actually had to do what the Lord is referring to here as what's called an excommunication. And this really is, I guess, what parents would describe as is tough love. And an excommunication, again, this would be to a public figure, maybe someone like a Henry VIII or somebody of his stature. The church would let them know that they cannot go to Holy Communion. They're excommunicated until they convert and change their ways. So excommunication is really a wake-up call. It's an act of mercy, an act of charity to the person to let them know that they need to repent and they need to have a conversion. And that's what, again, is done very rarely, but the church sometimes does that. It's not a punishment, it's medicinal. It's to bring about the person's change of heart and to bring about their conversion. And it's to get their attention, to get back on the right track. So again, even that is an act of charity, an act of love from Holy Mother the Church to bring about the person's eternal salvation, to get them back in the good graces of God. And so today's readings are all about fraternal charity, love of neighbor, and part of that sometimes has to be saying things, maybe if you don't want to say it, but you know it would be good for the person to get them back on the right track. So we should always pray for wisdom and grace to always do this with patience, with charity, with humility, but don't neglect to say it. As Ezekiel says, if you neglect it, if you're unwilling to say it, well then you could be partly responsible for that other person going in the wrong direction. So we ask always for the grace and the wisdom to be able to love other people enough to help them to get to heaven. God bless you.